In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. Back to your program, Treasures, and continuing the commenting on the letter of St. Paul, the second letter to Thessalonians. In the first two chapters, we mentioned that St. Paul was supporting the faith against the false teaching of the second coming of Christ, because people were confused with many false teaching around that the day of the Lord came already, and they did not know much about the false Messiah or the Antichrist. So in the second chapter, he focused on this character of the man of sin, the Antichrist, and the time of this, you know, falling away. And then he supported them, saying that the grace of God will guard you and stick to the holy tradition you received from the apostles, because they received it from Christ. The last chapter, chapter 3. Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may run swiftly and be glorified. Most of the scholars say that he wrote this letter while he was in Corinth, and he had hard time in Corinth. That's why he's asking his children to pray for him, because there were many, you know, people against his service in Corinth. He had many hard time trying to preach the word of God in Corinth. Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may run swiftly and be glorified, just as it is with you. Because he could see that the people of Thessalonians were the best in Greece, because they accepted the word of God with pure heart, and they showed by their good life that they followed the truth, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men. Look to this. The wicked men are usually unreasonable, because what they believe that it's very reasonable. Actually, it's not reasonable to do any bad thing. The wicked men are, you know, against logic, against nature, against any simple understanding of things. So they are usually unreasonable. The wave of atheism all over the world, it's very unreasonable. Because when you listen to any one atheist, actually he's saying things in a scientific way and he's trying to be reasonable and logic. But when you study what he's saying, you can see clearly that's very unreasonable. Here he's saying that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for not all have faith. So the people of Corinth, many of them were wicked and unreasonable, and they started to attack Paul and his team in their lives and in their teachings. So Christ made it clear that all his followers will suffer. But here St. Paul is saying, faith will not be given to everyone, because people may reject faith, and God will never, you know, push anyone to the end to believe in him by force. But the Lord is faithful. Wait a minute. Even if you have hard time, again, Christ is faithful. And he can see clearly what's happening. He will support you and he will reward his people. The Lord is faithful, who will establish you and guard you from the evil one. So we have our role to do. We have to fight against false teaching. We have to stick strongly to our faith. We have to hold the hope in Christ. We have to understand the real teaching of the church. But again, the work of God, the role of the grace of God, will guard us against this evil one. So we are working in synergies. We are working together. The grace of God and the struggle of man. We men have something to do, and God have a major part to do. And we have confidence in the Lord concerning you. So while praying to them, He is sure that God will not let him down or let his people down. God will work according to our prayers. He will support the real truth, and he will guard the face of the church. We have confidence in the Lord concerning you, both that you do and will do the things we command you. So again, the expression of faith is always about doing things, good deeds, good life. So to prove their real good faith, they have to have a good life. So he's saying, you do and will do the things we command you, because the teaching of St. Paul were about faith and about works. And the teaching of all the Bible is about the real truth and the life because of this truth, the righteousness and the orthodox faith, the sane faith. Now may the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patience of Christ. So he's praying for them. The Lord may direct their hearts into the love of God, which means that we need to love God more and we need to love people more. And that's a message for everyone. Whatever the level of your love, you need to love God more, because we are commanded to love God from all our hearts, all our minds, all our powers. So we need to grow in this, to love him more, to spend more time with God, to think of him more, to please him more, to stay in his house, in his church more, to serve him more, to follow his commandments more, and also to show people more love, to be more kind with people, to serve them, to plead them in a good way, to excuse them, to cover their needs, to help them in their hard times. So we need to love more and more. May the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patience of Christ. He chose the patience here because Christ was very patient when he suffered on the cross, when he suffered from the Jews, when he suffered all over his life span on earth. That's the patience of Christ. So we need to be patient with troubles, with people, and we need in our struggle to be patient, waiting for the promises of God, waiting for his rewards. But we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw from every brother who walks disorderly and not according to the tradition which he received from us. Actually, this verse is very important nowadays, because many of the simple Christians always saying that we need to love everyone, so we need to accept all teachers, all teachings about Christ, whatever their background, whatever the truth they revealed. Here, wait a minute, he's saying that you withdraw from every brother who walks disorderly and not according to the tradition which he received from us. So this means that some people are telling people, you know, false teachings. And we need to beware of these people. We need to withdraw from these brothers. We will love them, but, you know, we will pray for them, but we cannot stay much time with them, because they will, you know, distort our truth. And we need to stick to the tradition of the church, the holy tradition, the apostolic tradition. So that's a warning from St. Paul, because of the false teaching in the first century, that he is telling us, beware, take care, because you shouldn't, you know, stay much with these people or follow their teaching. The church is all about tradition. The faith is all about tradition. The truth, it's in the tradition. The tradition is not a people one. It's God's faith. It's God's knowledge. It's God's message to people. It's the revelation of God about himself, about salvation. So we need not to invent the wheel to, you know, to make the truth by ourselves. And many brothers may like to add or distract from this truth. And we shouldn't, we need to take care. For you yourself know how you ought to follow us, for we were not disorderly among you. He is now referring to his model. He was a role model. He and his co-servants were really following the truth, doing the commandments given by Christ, following the church teaching, delivering the sane message, the orthodox faith. So he's telling everyone, just follow us, because we showed you how we could live a good life exactly like Christ's life. For you yourself know how you ought to follow us, for we were not disorderly among you. So they had their order. And the word order is related to many things. The order of the church, it's like the teaching of the church, the doctrine of the church. And also the order means the rituals of the church. They had their rituals, the psalm, praying regularly, the liturgies, and the act of baptism, and the sacrament of Myron, the Eucharist. So that's the order of the church. And also the order of the church related to the structure of the church. Christ is the head, and the bishops of the church, or the apostles, then the priests and the deacons, and these were, you know, chosen men to serve the church according to the tradition. So if anyone want to live his life disorderly and not respecting the order of the church, being the tradition, the faith, or the worship, or the structure, actually we have to take care and to stay away from these people. Nor did we eat anyone's bread free of charge, but worked with labor and toiled night and day, that we might not be a burden to any of you. So he mentioned one simple example, like for those who are serving God shouldn't be a burden on the church. They have to work for their own life, and better not, you know, to make any benefit or to abuse the church for their benefits. So he's speaking about himself and his team. Nor did we eat anyone's bread free of charge, but worked with labor and toil night and day, that we might not be a burden to any of you. Not because we do not have authority, being a bishop or an apostle. Actually, he need not to work, but he wanted to give the example. But to make ourselves an example of how you should follow us. So mentioning the word authority is important, because yes, Saint Paul had an authority given by the church, given by Christ, to be an apostle. So he was a priest, he was a bishop. He was ordained by the apostles to be responsible for the service of pagans. So using the word authority, it's a church term, meaning that he had this authority from God, not, you know, to be a dictator or just to let people follow him, but to do the work of Christ in his church. For even when we were with you, we commanded you this: if anyone will not work, neither shall he eat. So because at that time, it was written in the history that some of the early Christians started not to work, saying that we are waiting Christ to come. And they considered that if anyone doing any work, he is doing bad things, because we need to focus and do nothing but worshiping God until he comes. Actually, that was not the teaching of the church. That was not the tradition of the church. Simply, everyone were working just to cover the needs. And Christ himself worked as a carpenter many years. So he made it very clear that if anyone will not work, he should not eat also. For we hear that there are some who walk among you in a disorderly manner, not working at all, but are busybodies. Actually, he's commenting on real mistakes, real problems in this church. Now, those who are such, we command and exhort through our Lord Jesus Christ that they work in quietness and eat their own bread. So he's using his authority now to support the rules of the church, and no one should be like a burden on the church. People should work to cover the needs of their lives and also to support the poor ones who cannot work. But as for you, brethren, do not grow weary in doing good. Continue doing good. Stand strong in your attitude to do the good will of God. And if anyone does not obey our word in this epistle, know that person and do not keep company with him, that he may be ashamed. So St. Paul expected that some people will not be happy with what he said because of their false teaching and their unreasonable attitude and then their agenda in their minds. So he said, for those who will not accept the words given in this epistle, just, you know, note these people and do not keep company with them, that they may be ashamed. Yes, do not count him, this man, as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother. When you take a decision not to come closer to anyone or to deal with somebody because of his false teaching, you are not an enemy. You are not allowed to hate anyone, but you have to take care. You have to have this wise attitude in dealing with these people because they want to spread their false teaching. Now, may the Lord of peace himself give you peace, always in every way. So because of all these troubles with the teaching, troubles with the behavior of some of the people related to the church, so we need to have this peace of God. So he's saying, may the Lord of peace himself give you peace. As in our usual liturgies, we say the King of Peace will cover us with the peace of heaven. Always in every way, the Lord be with you all. The salutation of Paul with my own hand, which is a sign in every epistle. It seems like he was telling the epistle and some of his co-servants is writing down after him. But when it comes to the signature, he had to take the pen and sign the letter by his hand, so people can make sure that this letter sent by St. Paul. So he's saying the salutation of Paul with my own hand, which is a sign in every epistle, so I write. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. I wish all of you study both letters, the first letter and the second letter to Thessalonians. Because when you read the 8th chapter, the 5 of the first and the 3 of the second, you can understand the whole idea, the circumstances of this church, and how St. Paul being their good shepherd and their father is busy solving their problems. Glory to God. Amen.